This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Some tells me we got to eliminate that old promo from Ira in the rotation.
You know what? Before we start today, if I could, because I'm a longtime listener of the Big O Show, I think on like 50 different South Florida radio stations, but I have to say this, listening to your previous segment about the Dolphins, the one thing, and again, I read everything. I read Joe Shad, I read Omar Kelly, I read David Ferronis, I've read Adam Beasley, I read the Herald's new writer, I read everyone. When you look at the Dolphins schedule, and you have two left against the Jets and one left against the Giants and one left against the Texans and one left against the Falcons and New England, which will be in the crapper the last game of the season. Look, I know everyone is looking at the schedule as the Dolphins as their easy team. Oh, you can't fail with this schedule. This schedule gets so soft. I mean, look at it. Two Jets, a Giants, a Falcons, a Texans, a Patriots. You're right back in it if you almost play by the line. Because you know what, oh, the wise guys in Vegas are going to have the Dolphins favored in several, if not all, of those games. They know the Dolphins are better than the record, and they know those other teams stink. So when you look at it, I mean, just the three games against the New York teams and what they're going through. If you think it's bad for Coach Flo here, you go be Joe Judge up there, or you see what's going through with the Jets, what they're going through with a rookie quarterback, which we never went through. The Dolphins never went through anything as bad with Tua as what the Jets are dealing with, which you often do with a neophyte quarterback. Oh, I'm telling you, when you look at that schedule, anyone who writes off the Jets, and again, rather the Dolphins, and again, I love my fellow South Florida writers and brethren, is a fool, because that schedule has many gifts built into it.
I'm with you. That's why it's thank you, Ira, for bringing common sense like you usually do to the conversation. But it's just, I just find it like disturbing that they have had a really nice run the first 2 years in rebuilding, and there's this entire world of panic after 1 month, and it's only four games. And the dude's track record is he fixes it every time. He figures it out. And that's what he's done the first 2 years. So can we at least not, can we give the man an opportunity to try to figure it out is all I'm asking.
And you look at the four games, the Bills are great. The Bills just don't beat you. They shut you out and they take your wives and children. You look at the Raiders. I think Gruden finally has it right there. Yes, New England maybe was closer than it should have been. Sure, you have that letdown against Colts, but you know, there's plenty else going in play. Everyone's going to have bad losses. Every team in this league. The Bills will have a bad loss along the way. So I know you kid with me when I come on here twice a week with the Acura Pembroke Pines Heat Report and also with Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint on Wednesdays about the Heat and the Panthers have to save South Florida. But our market's way of giving up on our teams so early, I find so disappointing. Look, give up on the Marlins in August and July. Okay, I can deal with that. And you know what's going to happen also, with the Panthers. They are notorious for their poor starts. They just are. I wish they weren't, but they are.
Well, except last year.
I'm saying, that was the salvation.
You're right.
But people, give it time. They have an 82-game season. The Heat have an 82-game season. You know what? The Heat might lose opening night to the Milwaukee Bucks. Then they might go on the road and lose to the Indiana Pacers in a typical NBA road loss. The sky is not falling. We have so many skies falling. You know when the sky is falling? When you see what the University of Miami did, when you see they couldn't be competitive, when you see Appalachian State, I mean, just the faith stepping in there and helping the Canes, when it's consistent like that, there's one thing. There are more good things about the Dolphins, far more than there are about the Canes. You can actually do like Omar Kelly does and Joe Shad does and the other writers do and list five good things out of every Dolphins game this year. You can. There are that. You start with Xavier Howard to go down the line there. So there's something to build on. I think that's the difference. It'll be the same thing with the Heat. There will be moments where you go, oh, it's not working with Jimmy and Kyle. Oh, they don't have enough depth. Everyone, I don't know. I honestly think you need to get some sort of Prozac sponsor on your show so we can all calm down a little or just feed them the Ambien, one of the two.
Yeah. Or add a CBD company here to mellow us out
Works
a little bit
me.
There because because definitely needed. All right. So, by the way, what's the cockamamie schedule tonight? Why a 10 o'clock start in Houston?
ESPN is doing a doubleheader, so they wanted to feature this late. I mean, there's so many weird reasons. Also, Jeff Van Gundy lives in Houston. It's easy to get an analyst to the game. You know what? They're fulfilling obligation. It's just like when you buy your season tickets and they try to throw in the preseason. You're like, really? I mean, oh, look at next Friday. They're playing the Boston Celtics at 6:30 p.m. on Friday at FTX Arena, which I've heard there's traffic in Miami on Fridays, and they want people there early. Why? Because ESPN has a 9 p.m. college football game that day. It's all about the TVs. It's never about the fans. It's never about the viewers. I'm going to go talk to Eric Spoelstra about an hour or so and shoot around. He'll tell us maybe who's playing or who's not. You know what? You would have to be the most diehard of diehard Heat fans to stay up for a 10 p.m. exhibition start. And a matter of fact, I think everyone who does, if you DM the Big O, he will send you a dollar.
No. Don't. Why you do that to me? But I will be up. My crazy ass will be up. I will be definitely watching it. Ira, just out of curiosity, since FTX is their sponsor, have any of the players decided to get paid in crypto? Do you know?
Right. Now, you know,
allow you in the NBA to do that.
The Heat are dancing around that right now. When we're asking them, are you taking it for payments? Are you taking it as concessions? You know what? This even for the hip, cool league is still old school when it comes to the owners and the owners' finance. It's just like in the old school NFL. You're seeing it. You have people like Mark Cuban who are accepting all crypto as payments. You know, he's moved there. Obviously, not some of the newer sort of tokens that show up and then go away rather quickly.
But he understands crypto. Yes, he understands smart contracts and blockchain.
And you know what? If not...
He has real knowledge of it, actually.
And if not Mickey Arison, I would assume at some point Nick Arison, sort of. I think you'll see the whole next wave of owners and GMs sort of move to that. Because you know what? A dollar is a dollar, whether it's minted or whether it's minted. You know, either way, you're still going to wind up with the same money. As long as you have that flexibility that you can always convert it to cash, you know, into U.S. cash. I think that's the whole thing. I don't think the players, union wants to get involved in currency. Matter of fact, Big O, even when you play for the Canadian teams, you're paid in U.S. currency because they don't want to get involved in exchange rates. Look, you know the volatility
I know the NFL does it. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, but the volatility in the crypto market, you know, what one Bitcoin is worth today, which is still plenty, versus what it will be a month, a week, a year from now. It's sort of that volatility. I think they want to keep everything in the same, especially Big O in a salary cap league, where if you have fluctuations on one end, whether it's revenue or the payout, it sort of makes everything complex. Look, it's all heading that way. This league has been very forward-thinking, socially, economically, the way the games are. So, yeah, I think it would just be a matter of time.
I saw in your Ask Ira that they were asking, you know, about whether Caleb Martin up against Akpala. And I'm almost like... I'm like, wow, is that even a question? Is that even a debate now? Because I almost feel like Akpala is yesterday's news. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's the case. You tell me, you're closer to the situation. But I almost, just from the other night, watching Caleb Martin come off the bench when Jimmy didn't play and play well, and hell, after I had you on the next day, you even think Caleb Martin will have some kind of an impact throughout the year. So that conversation, has Akpala become the forgotten man?
Well, it's interesting because since I spoke to you about KZ the first time, there were a couple of trades here in the NBA where teams offloaded salary and each time had to throw in a future second round pick. We saw that with the Nets, with Sekou Djumbuya. They got rid of his contract to the Rockets, threw in a second round pick. We saw it with the Pacers, who wanted more room under the tax. They traded Edmund Sumner, who's out for the season, and a second-round pick to the Nets, which happens to be the Heat's 2025 second-round pick. So, here's sort of the irony. The Heat spent 3 second-round picks in order to draft KZ Akpala in the 2019 NBA second round. They were caught by his play out of Stanford. They thought it was someone special. That's a lot. That's not the typical move the Heat makes in the second round. They usually wait till the second round's over. They get their Duncan Robinson, they get their Gabe Vincent, they get their Max Strus. They're patient on that. So they made that deal. So now if you want to get rid of KZ Akpala's salary to add another player under the luxury tax, apparently, based on the moves by the Rockets and by the Nets, you have to throw in another second rounder. Oh, that would be four second rounders to get the guy and to get rid of the guy. So I think you just have to cut bait and play it out. Here's the difference. If Victor Oladipo was healthy, you wouldn't need that additional wing as much at the start of the season. He wouldn't be a contributor. Right. So you know what? Whoever my 12th or 13th man, I could deal with it. But because Victor Oladipo is out, not traveling on this trip now here to San Antonio and then here in Houston tonight, it's different. That could be a rotation player. Caleb Martin is so much more ready. Caleb Martin is so much more mature. Caleb Martin is so much more of a, I mean, I've spoken to both, I don't mean to demean Casey, a man. You just feel it when you talk to him. He gets it. He knows it. He's been in some very good college programs. He played out at Nevada under Eric Musselman with his brother Cody. Okay, and they had a very successful season there. I like him a lot. He deserves to play ahead of him. The Heat have a Casey Akpala conundrum. But you know what, Owen? You have seen this in your coverage with the Dolphins. You can miss draft, but at a certain point, you have to say, we made a mistake and we move on. How many times in recent years, Dolphins, second, third, and fourth round picks, you realize, hey, or I guess in case of, was it Jordan, the number three pick or whatever, you just realize, hey, this guy can't play. I think the Heat are in a tough spot. They really want to justify the expenditure of picks. Because remember, those picks are going out in 22, 25, and 26. So every time you and I watch an NBA draft, why aren't the Heat drafting in the second round? Oh, Akpala, that's 22. 25. Why are, KZ, 20s, you know. So I think if they really want to try to justify it, he's going to have a really good preseason, perhaps even starting tonight here in Houston.
All right. Last couple of years, obviously people look at us and, oh, you guys are just homers and this and that. And it was great to see that the NBA coaches backed us up, because one of the things I've said for a long time, it's Pops, it's Spo, and Rick Carlisle. Those are my top three, and that's my list. If I had to make the three best coaches in the NBA, those are my three guys. You got to give Pops his props, but I thought it was really cool that NBA coaches voted Spo the best coach in the NBA, and I think it's because of his forward thinking and all the success that he's had also throughout it. But I thought it was really cool. He downplayed it as much as possible when you guys asked him, typical of Spo as always. But it was nice to see that the NBA coaches are backing us homers that I've said, you know, that I've talked about how great Spo has been.
Yeah, he's widely respected. And it wasn't just the general manager's poll. It's been coaches and others talking about him. I'd probably throw two others into your group there, and Quinn Snyder and the Jazz. Small market coaching is hard. And he's had success there. And I think Steve Kerr, because that's sort of the Phil Jackson thing. You can say it's easier to coach great players, but it's not. Because ask David Blatt and ask the coaches of the Cavaliers who had LeBron James. So I still think it's not as easy as people think. Oh, one thing I think is really interesting.
Hold on. Let me interrupt you there just one second. My problem with Steve Kerr is I haven't seen him have success with less. And that's where Spo kicks his ass. You know, when I see Spo go 31-10 with a bunch of journeymen, you know, that's just ass kicking coaching right there. You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, it was also 11-30 to start that season. So it goes both ways. And you know what?
But you still went 500 with that team. It's impressive.
To a degree, the difference is Steve Kerr never had a coach bad. And then all of a sudden he had to. Eric Spoelstra inherited the 2008 Miami Heat. I mean, he had Michael Beasley at the start. He had a team coming up, so he's learned how to do both. What I really find interesting is this. In recent years, and I think this bothered some coaches, everyone was piling on the Brad Stevens train. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's a genius. Yeah. He's everyone. Right. And now if you read the stories out of Boston, with Ime Udoka, their new coach, they're talking about, we have a better system. We're feeling better about ourselves. There's better leadership. So I think a lot of times the hot name is not the name that endures. And give Spo credit. He stepped in 2008. He had a great team with Bosch and Wade and LeBron, but still got two titles thanks to Ray Allen's three. He's kept them consistently competitive, and that means something. We would take that from the Dolphins
now. By the way, the shoes he had to fill.
Yes.
Let's not forget that. Steve Kerr wasn't filling anybody's shoes at Golden State.
No, you never want to, follow the man. I mean, Don Nelson learned that in New York. Don't be the man who follows the man. Be the man who follows the man who follows the man. Be the next guy in there. No, I mean, people talk about what Eric Spoelstra does. I know Heat fans sometimes think he overcoaches, he overanalyzes, he overthinks. But you know what? He's constantly willing to adjust and sort of put his stamp on his teams. You know what? Oh, we cover him for 82 games, as we will this year on the Accurate Pembroke Pines report, covering the Miami Heat. And there will still be moments I think it's fair to criticize. I think out of 82 games, you can tell me, why did he do that in the fourth quarter? Why did he play that guy? That's all well and done, and that's all fair. But the end of the year with the body work, I don't think anyone sits there and go, man, if the Heat had a different coach, they'd be that much better. I'd like to find that person.
The way Spo was talking about Lowry, obviously he loves what he saw from Lowry and the mentality, the way he's always thinking ahead. He was talking about how he hated facing Lowry because his mind is always thinking of, you know, how to attack you and those kind of things. There's obviously a comfort zone and a confidence with him. Tonight against Houston, can you see a Lowry taking a rest and him trying to experiment? All right, if I don't have Lowry throughout the season, how am I going to run this offense and who else? Or do you expect Lowry to play a lot again tonight?
It's interesting because Gabe Vincent showed up on the injury report. So I think they might want to give him another day and make tomorrow in San Antonio the Gabe Vincent game. Oh, I would like to try or believe that I'll be able to follow the Heat rotation to connect the dots in the preseason. Not sure much more is as meaningless as the Heat and the NBA preseason. So even the other day, Gabe Vincent played as the backup point guard, got his assists, looked okay. I still think Eric Spoelstra is going to look at every and any possibility, and it very well could be when Kyle Lowry goes to the bench, Jimmy Butler takes over the playmaking. Maybe he staggers. In other words, Lowry comes out 4 minutes in, then Jimmy comes, you know, then Jimmy goes out and Kyle comes back 8 minutes into the first quarter, and they do it that way. They want to make it work with Gabe Vincent, but here's the thing, and I talk to you about this every week and twice a week in our Accurate Pembroke Pines report here. If you're going with the starting lineup of Adebayo and Tucker and Robinson and Butler and Lowry, and if we're assuming, based on contracts and experience and things like that, your three prime reserves are going to wind up being Tyler Hero, Dwayne Dedman, and Markieff Morris, where does Gabe Vincent fit in there? Is he ahead of Max Strus? Is he part of the rotation? We're not even talking about Victor Oladipo. What I want to see, I don't care if it's with Lowry, if it's without him, if they stagger the rotations, you and I are going to be talking after these two games. Next week we talk, there'll be another game against Charlotte. It'll come down to this. Do you feel comfortable with Gabe Vincent as your full-time backup point guard? That'll be determined not by the rotations, but by his play. Is he consistent enough that you could say, you know what, Ira? Give me 18 minutes a game of that guy. That'll work. Because there is no one else. There is, you tell me, with Victor Oladipo out, who is the third string point guard? You're sure as heck not going to play Marcus Garrett, who's a defensive-only player. It would be like when if they would have had to go with Briante Weber as a backup point guard. So they're sort of locked in there. And again, it comes down to, as you always do, bring things full cycle. Or if you didn't have Casey Akpala, you could bring in a veteran point guard. You could bring in Jeff Teague, who is still out there. Because I got a feeling, if you were to ask me, Ira, do you feel more comfortable with Jeff Teague or Gabe Vincent as your backup quarterback? Backup point guard, I guess quarterback on the floor. I would go with Jeff Teague. So the whole roster has to come together, but Gabe Vincent is certainly someone, Big O, you should keep your eye on.
All right, a two-part question that maybe some people might overlook a little bit. How important is it for the Strus to be loose? Because it's great to have Duncan doing his thing, but you lost none, and he adds threes, and I know it's inconsistent threes, but you also lost a Dragon. So you've lost a couple of guys that really helped you out in that three-point area a couple years ago. Jay Crowder helped you out in that area. So how important is it for Strus to be loose, to be consistent, to be the guy that when Duncan's not on the floor, they have that guy to stretch? And we've watched him develop the last couple of years here, but it looks like his role will be elevated if he's able to meet that the demands that they need. But how dependent is it? And if he fails, what kind of a burden does that put on the bench.
Yeah, they need another three-point shooter off the bench. When you look at the reserves right now, Markieff Morris has been very up and down over his career. Yeah. He's one of the three I mentioned. I don't think I ever want to count on Tyler Hero as a three-point shooter because I don't want to lock him in a box of having him stand in a corner. He's too versatile as a three-level scorer to do that. I don't count him. And God bless Dwayne Dedmon, who had 1 year of shooting threes, but he ain't going in there to be a three-point shooter. So I totally agree, Big O. I think Max Strus right now is a rotation player. Again, we keep coming back to this until Victor Oladipo comes back because then you're adding different offense in there. I think Max Strus is very important to this team. I don't watch him offensively. You could watch him shoot his threes. I know we can do that. I'm going to be concentrating on Max Strus and see if he is a plus player when you factor in his defense. Because I've seen, you know this, oh, you've gone back too many Jason Caponos over the years. A guy who can hit a three, but I go back to the old, I know this might be too old school, the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, when they're sort of, you see someone as a piece of meat. You know, when Elmer Fudd is hunting you and he sees the big steak. When Jason Capone was on the floor, the four other players on offense would go to the other side and they basically say, sick him, to whoever Jason Capone was guarding. And no matter what Jason did on offense, they would get more back on defense. I don't think Max Strus is in that class, but you know what? We almost have to sit here weekly and you'll tell me Ira Max Strus hit threes and I'll say to you, oh, but what do you think about his defense? If he can defend, that is game changing. Duncan Robinson came into the NBA as an awful defender. Right now, he's a passable defender. He's getting better in the team concepts. That's all I need to see for Max Strus. Then I would have one in Duncan Robinson and 1A in Max Strus.
Now, and just to play off of that, even with Depot coming back, which we all hope he does, and if he's healthy at the back end of the season, it's still important to have Strus on the floor because Depot's ability to attack the rim and facilitate,
right,
to have that flexibility of him either attacking you or throwing it back to Strus out in the perimeter is a really nice 1-2 combination to attack people with. So
when
you
do
get Depot back, if you've got Duncan and Strus on the court at the same time, man, that really opens it up for their offense.
Yeah, and Victor Oladipo is not a great three-point shooter either. So you know what? The first preseason game, everyone was hitting threes. The Heat are very good at home at shooting threes. You've seen that over the years. Oh, you can't have a season where you win the games, you make a lot of threes, you get killed in the games, and you don't make a lot of threes. There has to be a consistency in your threes. There has to be a floor-spacing threat. Again, Jimmy Butler didn't play in the first preseason game. He's a bad three-point shooter. That hurts the spacing. You're going to have a non-spacer. Tyler Hero is more of a spacer, even at this point of his career, than Jimmy Butler is. So do you get too bogged down all of a sudden when you have Bam and Jimmy on the floor and not enough three-point shooting if Duncan's not available?
Yes.
So I agree. Yes. And you know what? Oh, it's like the cycle show today. So we go back again to KZ Akpala. Maybe he hits the threes. If he doesn't, you could get rid of him or move him to open the tax space and bring in a Wesley Matthews. So again, everyone is talking about the Heat rosters being set and set under the tax. I can keep giving you one more player. And at each turn, we know they can't because of the luxury tax. Now, there's two factors there. There's the Udonis Haslem thing I will not go into. It is the Heat. They are set in stone. Udonis will be here as long as he wants. So, I don't even debate that with you anymore. There's no reason to. There's no changing that. So it comes down to the KZ Akpala roster spot and how they handle that. So we wait and we see. But I'll tell you, I can give you so many names where I would feel more comfortable, whether it was a Jeff Teague or a Wesley Matthews or a James Ennis, who's still out there also right now. There are names for the minimum, but the Heat's up against the tax. And so we wait.
All right, there you go. All right, the Young Rockets tonight against the Heat should be a lot of fun. So get the Cuban coffee ready so you can stay up tonight. Ira, as always, thank you for taking some time, my friend. We will catch up next week.
And if anyone wants to DM me on where I can get a cafecito at 10 p.m. here in Houston, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Big O.
You got it. There you go. The great Ira Winderman. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat and catch him three times a week here, twice with the Acura Pembroke Pines Miami Heat Report and once a week on Wednesdays with the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show.
You've been listening to the Acura of Pembroke Pines Miami Heat and NBA Report with Ira Winderman. When you're looking for award-winning service and great deals from the number one volume Acura sales dealership in the Southeast United States, you go to Craig's in Acura of Pembroke Pines at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
All right. Awesome. All right. Good stuff. Sean, you've got the hookup there. Mike DeRocco is confirmed for 12:30. Mike DeRocco will be joining us straight from Jacksonville, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, and he is covering the Jags and, of course, the Urban Liar story. So I figured we visit in with Mike. So he's all clear. So, Sean, reach out to him and get the info you need to send him the link. So he is set up for 12:30. So good to hear that Mike DeRocco is going to be joining us at 12:30. So I like it. I like it. I like it. It's a beautiful thing. You know what I also like? I did post on my Twitter page at Big O Show. I did post a link to crypto.com and the code. So if you want to sign up and get their Visa card, man, it is the bomb. I'm telling you, the bomb. Zero fees. So good stuff, actually. The Visa. I got the red one. I got the ruby one. It is the coolest credit card on the planet. Also, there is not a cooler. That's the kind of credit card that your friends are going to want to look at and talk about and all that. And it's the same as any other credit card, you know. But, you know, it's through your crypto account. So you can kind of fund it through there if you need it. And that way you can charge whatever you want, whenever you want to go to a theater or whatever. There's a lot of misconception. Some people think, like, you can't turn crypto into money right away, which you convert it to money right away all the time. You know, but it is what it is. That's just kind of the way life goes. All right. So Shiba is up 32% right now. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. All right. What else do we have here? We got a lot of people on the chat board. We thank Ira Winderman for joining us, as always. Let's see. What else? To me, Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA, not named Greg Popovich. 2 championships and 5 final appearances. That's excellent. I'm with you. I have got no issues with Spo, dude. Spo is a freaking awesome coach. We are incredibly blessed to have Spo here as the head coach of the Miami Heat. Great job by Riley in finding Spo, in hiring Spo, in developing Spo, and look to what he's turned out to be. Incredible. Lisa Rose in the house says, slow start to my day, another late night, early morning, Dodger thriller. Now I need my Fins to pull off a stunner on Sunday. That would be really nice, Lisa. That would be really nice. The Dodgers beat the Cards yesterday 3-1. So they move on. White Sox and Astros tonight today afternoon, 4:07. Lance Lynn, Lance McCullers Jr. And then at 8:07, the Red Sox and the Rays, Eduardo Rodriguez and Shane McClanahan for that one. So 8:07 first pitch. We got the Heat and the Rockets tonight at 10 o'clock. We got Tampa Bay and the Florida Panthers also tonight. Got a bunch of things going on, man. Got a bunch of games going on. And the Panthers acquired Stephon Gilmore for a 6th-rounder in 2023. What else? Also, what was the other player that was traded yesterday, too, or about to be traded? Who was it? Jalen Smith got traded to the Panthers. That was the other one. Did you guys see, since we're going to have my man Mike DeRocco on at 12:30, and he's going to address some of the stuff going on with the Jags, Chuck Pagano was on with, with Pat McAfee. He was on the Pat McAfee show. And so they were asking him about Urban Liar and his situation. And let me play the video for you guys so you can check it out. because Pagano, I mean, you know, he pretty much let him have it. You know what I mean? And he was brutally honest, is what he was about the situation. Listen to Pagano address the whole Urban Meyer mess.
Yeah, I was blown away. I mean, first of all, when those pictures of video came out, someone had to Photoshop this guy into this deal. You know, and then when you come out and you say, okay, this is for real, and that this is right after the game, and you didn't fly back with, never heard of that in my entire life. 37 years of coaching, I never saw the head coach miss. I never once ever thought about not doing that. Win or lose, whatever the circumstances, again, I don't know the circumstances surrounding Urban and the family and staying back, and you know, hey, I want to get out of Dodge, I need to clear the head, you know, everybody needs to, you don't get to do that. You signed the contract as the head freaking football coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this guy's a great coach. We all know what his record is, but you don't get to check out. And it's only the fourth week of the season.
Yeah.
Hell, where's he going after eight games, nine games? You know, you just don't get to do that, Pat.
And he's right. He's 1,000% right. Pagano, you can't argue one bit with that. I mean, it's insulting that you don't fly back with your team. And it becomes even more insulting to your team that fur is more important than the game. That's the part that's like, yeah, no, guys, you guys go back to Jacksonville. I'm going to get me some ass. Because, come on, who are we kidding? You think that does that look like somebody he just met? My wife, by the way, remember we talked about this whole situation. My wife knew nothing about this. So I showed her everything yesterday and all that. She had a very interesting take on it, and only a woman can come up with this, okay? She goes, she knows him. There's no way that she acts like that fresh without even knowing him that way. They have been together, because there's that picture of her with her head on his shoulders and all that, and she's like, there's a connection there. And somebody reported that apparently there has been a prior connection between the two, supposedly. And she goes, I think they already had a relationship. And I think she did that even on purpose, because she knew what was going to happen. And she wants him to get a divorce. So she wanted to stir it up. So she rubbed up on him. And she was trying to tempt him into doing all that kind of stuff. And I sat back and I go, I'm thinking it's kind of odd, but then I'm thinking, man, that could be true. Because if she is your mistress and you've been banging her, obviously, you know, she shows up to his Ohio bar. You know, so you wonder, okay, so has this guy been, has this been his side piece of ass for a while? And by the way, does the wife even know about this already? Now I went public, but maybe she already knew about this woman. And maybe this woman, this was her opportunity to kind of like, oops, oh, I'm sorry, honey. But she really isn't sorry. Just saying that, you know, I never thought of it that way, but only a woman is going to come up with that kind of a theory. You know what I mean? And when you start to look at what went on in the videos and the pictures, and you start to say, yeah, maybe there's something to this. Maybe there is a prior connection. Maybe there is a prior relationship. And maybe she wants to nudge that relationship into another direction, you know? Meanwhile, Urban Meyer just tells her, no, honey, I really care about you. No, I'll leave my wife eventually and has it. I don't know. He's in his 60s. He just said they've been together 37 years, whatever. And he called it a speed bump. Oh, Lordy. And my wife confirmed, by the way, yesterday. It's like, don't even bother looking at me after doing that. Forget about talking. Don't even bother looking. I mean, seriously, what woman with scruples is good? You just made her look like a complete buffoon in front of the world. That's the thing about Mrs. Meyer. I forgot what her first name is. No, there's a part of me that doesn't really feel sorry for her, because she's as low life as he is with that whole Ohio State thing and that scumbag that he was hiding, you know, and hiring and beating his wife and all that. And she was just as bad and hiding that whole mess too. So in a way, this is the kind of karma she deserves. And I got to tell you something. If there's nothing that comes from this, that's because Urban has probably been busted several times. That's why. Oh, normal, respectable women. Brother, you can't show up in that house. You're probably getting a divorce. But let's just say you're able to stay together. You're probably not showing up in that house for a couple of weeks. It's probably telling you, get out of here. Just leave me alone for a while. I need to be away from you. You know, the entire world saw you sticking your entire arm in her ass. There aren't a lot of women that are going to tolerate that. Some women, when you get home, they're cutting your thing off. They're hitting you with a bat. You open the door, shit's flying at you right away, vases and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Oh, man, you better be careful, brother. Ethereum Elemental says, Big O Show, I am late, but I heard your segment about Robinhood wallets. They are releasing individual wallets soon. Big news. Well, when they do that, we shall talk if they're able to do that, if they're willing to do that. And will they do that with all coins? Or will they just do it with Bitcoin? You know, that's you got to wait. And Robinhood is one. Look, bottom line is you shouldn't be buying in Robinhood. That's all I can tell you. Lisa Rose says, Shiba with dollar signs. Yes. Yes. Lots of dollar signs right now for Shiba. It's like it right now, the people that invested in Shiba, they're really torn. Because I know, because I'm feeling it right now. Like, you're up a lot, but you have the potential of going up so much more. So do you take profits now, or do you hang on and gamble that it's going to go up even more and not retract and go down, and then you lose your opportunity to take profits, right? This is the bitch right now that I know I'm in. I know some of you must be. I told you at the beginning of the show, I'm up 337% on Shiba right now. So what do I do? You know what I mean? Do I roll the dice and say, nah, I'm gonna hang on and let it ride. Or do I take some profits now? That's where we all are different. Okay. That's why I always tell you, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a guy that loves crypto and, you know, plays the market, studies it and invests in it. And so, you know, I do what I think is right. You do what you think is right and do your homework. Let's see. Jalen Smith went to the Packers. Yes, Packers are trading. What did I say? I said Panthers, right? I did. I think I said Panthers. You're right, Packers. You are correct, sir. Big O, beware your wifey's mind, Jesus. Well, it's just, dude, women are gonna, you know, they're gonna think things that we will never think of. That's why women's intuition is the most dangerous thing there is in the world. That's why you fellas, you come home and you think she doesn't know, but somehow or another, she's already figured out what you did. And you're like, what the F, bro? What's going on here? And it's women's intuition, man. Don't mess with it, dude. Don't mess with it. They will catch you, dude. Let's see. Oh, is the crypto credit card international? I think it is, actually. I think it is. I think crypto.com's credit card is international. I believe it is. I have not used it myself internationally, but I believe it is, actually. Captain Crunch Colon was my neighbor in Miami Lakes in the mid-70s. Mike Captain Crunch Colon. All right. Big Bob comes up with these facts that they come out of left field and they just show up on the chat board. And I'm like, what is going on? Your wife is in point, or you mean on point? Let me tell you something. It sounded like a really good theory. I never would have thought of that, but yeah, that sounded like a good theory. You never know. Maybe they have some kind of open marriage. Maybe Mrs. Meyer is getting lots of D on the side. And I don't mean defense. No, I kind of know what you mean. Kind of know what you mean. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. And maybe their only agreement is don't embarrass me in public. And that's exactly what he does. Raul Rodriguez says, you should not be teaching crypto. Why should I not be teaching crypto, sir? Why? Tell me. Tell me why I should not be teaching crypto. You tell me. Oh, what was the best blow you ever snorted? I was with Sosa in Colombia making a deal, you know? And then we had to get rid of that Hazari and we had to hang him from the helicopter. Let's see. Alex says, Dolphins have sucked for a long time. Let's talk more horse racing. This isn't a big deal. The locker room probably got a kick out of it. No, I disagree with you on that, dude. Completely disagree with you on that. You're way off if you think that. Seriously, way off. Because the NFL coaches and teams are constantly asking their players to care about football, and that football is their life. And that football is their priority. And Urban Meyer showed you that the team was not his priority that night. That it was more important for him to stay back and get a piece of ass than go back with his team, who is now 0-4. And it's his job to lead them. And when you're getting in trouble and you're getting a viral video out on social media, when the bye week rolls around, you can't tell the team, hey, guys, be smart. Don't get in trouble. Because now you've lost all that credibility already. Because you can't tell me to be smart when your stupid ass is in the middle of a bar sticking your arm up someone's ass and it's being filmed and posted on social media worldwide. So if you think it's not a big deal, you don't get what's going on. He has now, he probably was already losing credibility in the locker room. He now has no credibility in the locker room. Let me explain something to you, okay? I'll give you a story. I'm glad you brought it up because this goes with it. So yesterday, they spoke with Trevor Lawrence. So Trevor Lawrence was asked about Urban Meyer, about his coach. So Lawrence had this to say about Urban Meyer. He says, I think everything's been right on schedule like normal. I think we've operated well, Lawrence explained while answering questions. But at the end of the day, I can speak for myself for sure. And I think, or I know most of the team feels this way. He's still my head coach. I still respect him regardless of what happens. Like I said, we're a team and we're figuring it out. So we're all good. We had a great day of practice today and we're still working. I think he's done right by us, Lawrence continued on Meyer, and we're a team and we're sticking together. Just because something happens that puts a little stress on it, that doesn't mean that you give up and go your separate ways. You figure it out and work through it. So that's what we're doing. I feel good about our team. Nothing's changed. We're still really tight. So we're looking forward to playing the Titans this weekend and getting back on track. One, you're not answering football questions. You're now talking about an off-the-field issue. So it becomes a distraction. Two, that's the only thing Trevor Lawrence can say. Off the record, they'll be telling people other things to other writers. But you get this cheesy-ass line from Trevor, and everybody knows that they've got to be laughing at him, you know, and like the Mike Silver story had, that they were laughing at him when he walked away after meeting with the position players. And the fact, and by the way, he is as gutless as they come by meeting individually with the positions, with the position players, and not meeting with the entire team. Okay. He needed to be in front of the entire team and address everybody and look them in the eye and really be remorseful about all of this. The problem with Urban Meyer is he is such a liar. He is such a dirtbag that deep down inside, he's embarrassed about getting busted, not embarrassed about the act. Not he still to this moment, he can tell you whatever he wants because he said, oh, you know, now that I think about it, I should have traveled back with the team. Bullshit. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is that he got busted and that he's getting embarrassed right now. That's all he really cares about. And the fact that he called it a speed, not only did you thoroughly embarrass your wife, not only did you embarrass your family, your team, the owner, everybody involved by, you know, you're a 60-something year old man and you're acting like you're a freaking 19 year old, you know, finding some pee for the first time in your life. And so, hell yeah, let me feel it up. You know, you're acting like a complete idiot at your age. And this guy doesn't care about any of this stuff. He cares that he got caught. So you embarrass your wife with all of this, and then you call it a speed bump. Okay, so let me explain something to you. I know my wife would be pissed, okay? And I confirmed it yesterday with her, right? So let's just say she's pissed. And then I go publicly and just call it a speed bump. Do you know that I got to go back home again and I got to run this by her again today? Because I saw that soundbite this morning. And I got to run it by her, but I'm positive after you thoroughly embarrass your wife worldwide, social media, and then you come back and say, it's a speed bump. We've been together for 37 years. When you get back home, she's going to say, oh, you think this is a speed bump? Oh, really? So this is nothing to you. So there's no way. He's got to have an open marriage. She's got to know about all this stuff. The only agreement I bet they have is whatever you do, don't embarrass me publicly. And that's exactly what he did. And then not only do you embarrass her, then you pull a Ray Rice and you spit on her. Because you basically, by saying it's a speed bump. Speed bump. Really? Oh, man. I wish Urban was married to a Cuban woman. I mean, she would have divorced him years ago when she caught him the first couple of times, probably, or first time. But there's no way. I'm just telling you because I know Cuban women. There's no way that a Cuban woman's going to tolerate the video. Because now you embarrassed her in front of not just her friends, not just her family members. Because, you know, if one of you gets busted, whatever, maybe a couple of your friends find out, maybe your family members find out, and that's it. It's a small circle, still embarrassing in your world, but not the entire world. This is an embarrassment of worldwide proportions. That's a whole different ballgame. And then you call it a speed bump? Oh, my God. A Cuban woman would kill you. Okay? First, she'd be enraged for the first video. And then when you come back and say, we've been together, it's a speed bump, 37 years. She's going to say, you son of a bitch. You've taken advantage. You take this for granted, don't you? Seriously. Like, There's no way. There's no way you're walking straight. There's no way your nuts are still intact. There's no way your face is intact. You're getting Elin Nordegren golf club to your face, dude. Just saying. Urban, younger than you think. I think he's your age. Yeah, I thought he was in his 60s. I mean, he's still a scumbag, whatever age he is. He's still acting like a lowlife, whatever age he is, okay? Let's see, what else do we have here? Let me see Urban Liar. Let me look it up here for Urban Liar. First, you put on the search engine Urban Meyer, the first thing that comes out is video. He's 57. He's 2 years older than I am. July 10th of 1964. So he's 2 years older than I am. You put Urban Meyer in video. Oh, man. And that video will be there forever. You're done. Is the Urban situation any different than the Kraft rub and tug thing? Yeah, dude, of course. Kraft is not married. He's a widower. So it's a huge difference. He doesn't answer to anybody. Now, was it illegal what he did? Yeah. What Urban did is not illegal. It's just immoral, and obviously it violates everything with his wife. That's it's really the Urban stuff is a home stuff. It's really about what happened. You know, his problem more is with his wife. Now you have thoroughly embarrassed your team owner, all of those things. So, I mean, dude, the owner said he has to earn our trust back. I've never heard an owner say that about a coach. Big old Red Hot Chili Peppers touring next year, August 30th in Miami. Nice. Nice. I would like to go to that. That's such a great show. Red Hot Chili Peppers are always a great show. Let's see. Players are being hypocritical on this. The percentage of them cheating is extremely high. I don't think you understand. It's not just cheating. You chose ass over your team. You chose ass, not staying with the grandkids like he lied about. You chose the blonde ass instead of being with your team on the way home after a loss that you're 0-4. And then you get busted on a video that goes viral. And so now you have now disgraced not only your team, but also your family too. It's an enormous difference, dude. It's not just cheating. That part is, he has to settle that with, what's her name? Shelly, I think it is, his wife. But it's what you did, for, you know, with your team. You just heard Chuck Pagano in 37 years of coaching. He's never heard of a coach not flying back. Hey, if there was a death in the family or something and he had to stay for the funeral, okay. You're a college coach and you got to go to a recruiting stop. So your team's going back to Jacksonville or Miami, let's say, if you're a UM coach. And your team is going to Miami, but you're going to go to Palo Alto, California, to go recruit a quarterback. That's understandable. That's part of the game. But an NFL coach not going back home with his team with no emergency, I got to clear my head. I'm with Pagano on that one. What kind of wussy-ass stuff is that? I got to clear my head. What are you, Kyrie Irving? Well, you can't handle four games of adversity? What are you? Some of our Dolph fans have four games of adversity. They've lost their minds and given up on everybody. Come on, let's go. Let's be a little more mentally tough. So it's more than just about the simple fact of cheating. So there's a lot of a lack of professionalism that's involved in all of it. Let's see. Marino got a love child on the side. Yeah, he does. So what? He doesn't run a football team. He wasn't coming back on a plane and left it. And so again, like I said, it's some of you out there, you're comparing apples and oranges and you pull out examples that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. There's so much that goes on with these coaches and players we don't even know about. I'm sure at least 50% cheating that lifestyle. All right. Clearly, some of you can't be reached. I mean, there's this thing in this world nowadays. It's like people set their minds on something, and like there's no opening their minds and understanding that what they're thinking or saying or whatever makes no sense. But to them, they're going to force the square peg in the round hole. Whatever. Okay, we're done. My baloney has a first name. It's URBAN. My baloney has a second name. It's MEYER. Oh, he loves to grind it every day. And if you ask him why, he'll say... Because Urban Meyer is a scum. He likes his fuzz over his team. I don't know. I tried. I'm not a rapper. I tried. If you guys have a finishing line for that, you can send it in. All right. Big O, I think this generation after our generation thinks differently than we do. We are old school. It really sucks. I don't know about the generational thing. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I think it's just it's people are wired. Some people are just wired different. You know, you're talking about something and then they're going off in a completely different direction. And you try to get them back on track, and no, you're never going to get them back on track. They're dead set in their ways. So that's just kind of the way it is. So Byron Jones, you know what? Before I do that, let's do this. Let's take a really quick break here. We're at the top of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get ready. I got a couple of things that I want to talk about on the Dolphins side. What else do I want to share with you guys? Oh, I got an idiot athlete that I definitely want to talk about also on the show, give you a pick for tonight. Not that you really want to go by it. And don't forget that at 12:30, Mike DeRocco is going to join us here on the show. So we'll talk all things Urban Meyer with him also. Let's take a quick break. Back with hour number three, right here on the Big O Radio Show.